Your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 10. As the musicians are coming down and you're turning your Bibles, would anybody in the audience say that have a need before the Lord? Something you need the Lord to do physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially? Maybe something in your home you need to be healed, relationships, anything like that? I get here sometimes on Wednesday night and I forget. They used to call this Wednesday night prayer meeting. The old church used to get together and pray on Wednesday night. I don't know, we kind of just turned it into church. And that's all right too, because I like to preach. But I thought we can start this message out with a little bit of prayer. How about that? Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah.
I found out today that a coworker of mine that works at our downtown branch lost her grandson in a house fire. He was three.
Oh.
Pray for her. Name is Angie Collier, so pray for her family.
Remember that in prayer? Yes. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. God does. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. I see you. What you got, Zane? I see your hand. Carol. Y'all mind if I be real clear when I pray? Go ahead. Okay. Y'all mind if I be real clear when we pray? God, yes. God told me, when I was sitting there, he said, a lot of things you don't have because you don't ask. Simple as that. Have not because you ask not. So we're gonna be real plain with God when I pray. Yes. Remember that? Yes.
I've got a couple of months ago that I found out that I've got an autoimmune disorder, and it's really taking a toll on me.
Yeah.
I've struggled with it and not really wanted to say anything, but you starting this out this way. And
yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. That's absolutely true. Yes, Miss Nia. Man. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Y'all mind if I pray really plain the way I pray when I talk to the Lord on your behalf and mine too? Okay. Let's pray. God, we're thankful. Thankful that you pursued us and you loved us. You're God. You're high and lifted up. Your glory is amazing. God, we just heard somebody say, well, thank you for the salvations. Lord, you're the God of the harvest. Somebody told a story about the gospel. Somebody lifted up Jesus Christ. Somebody told somebody the truth, and somebody got saved because you came down and gave the increase. And God, we're thankful that we get to be around that. We're glad to be a part of a church that we're still seeing souls saved. God, we need favor. We're gonna go before county people and people that need permits and want things like that. But Lord God, we want you to go before us and give us favor. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And because what we want to do with this church is reach lost people and help Christians and help this community. Lord, make a way, and we'll glorify you for it. Now this next one, Lord, is going to sound radical. But there's a lot of people in this room who need healings in their bodies. Will you touch and heal their bodies? No, I'm not talking about would you use a doctor or medicine. God, I'm praying would you do a miracle. Touch kidneys. Touch immune systems. Touch hearts. And I'm not talking about people that are just sitting here. I'm talking about people that are out there. I'm talking about nerve damage. Lord God, I pray. Not because of who we are, once again, not because we want to say, oh, we prayed and you healed. We want to say God's good. And there's some men and women in this room that want to be healed. They want to be touched by you. God, most of all, use us for the gospel to reach the lost and dying world. Lord, use this church. Lord, use us. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. And help us forgive others. Lord, I pray for the unspoken request. You know the needs. Lord, we'll close this in saying, we're just going to go ahead and thank you. Because we know you answered the prayers before we even prayed them. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. I'm going to pray again. Hold on. God, there's some youth in this church. There's some people that are about to go down a long, hard road and path. God, I pray that you'd stand in that path and don't let them go any further. Help them stay where they need to be with you. Our young kids, our young adults, we ask you, Lord, just stay their path. Help them stay close to you. minister to them right where they're at. We've got some young people in this church that are really dealing with some hard things, some real things. And God, we don't always know what to do for them, but God, we know you do. Lord, meet the need. Lord, I've got a daughter right now. Lord, I pray. God, I pray for her. I pray that she'll turn to you. God, I pray for my boy that he'll always turn to you. God, we're grateful tonight that the power is in prayer. The power is being able to come to you in the time of need. God, we're thankful for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a moment of prayer. Good Lord. If y'all don't mind, I think we're going to change up some stuff on Wednesday night. Let's come in ready to pray on Wednesdays. How about that? How about we just come in ready to pray every Wednesday? We'll just make it old-fashioned Wednesday night prayer meeting. I feel like I'm going to preach, but man, I don't even know if I have to. Did anybody else feel the presence of God in here? Amen. Golly, bum. Whew. Something works, stick with it. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to try to get, I know when I say this, don't panic, all right? I'm going to try to get 20 verses in tonight. And I'm only going to preach one thing. And I know some of you smart alecks out there said, well, why don't you just tell us the one thing and be done? Well, that's the part of being a preacher that I love the most. Take us 40 minutes to tell you one thing, preach 20 verses. After these things, that's where, are y'all there? Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Y'all seeing that? I want y'all to really focus on that 70 also. Other 70. He had 70 other people and sent them out two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Ain't that amazing? When I read the Bible, a lot of times I think it's just Jesus and his 12 disciples. I think it's just Jesus and a couple of ragtag guys running around the countryside. Jesus had women. He had men. He had hundreds of people. At the least, we know there's 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. But 70 people, he sends 70 people out on a front of an evangelistic move. He sends them out ahead of him because he's coming to some towns that have never heard of Jesus, that are just now hearing the wave of a miracle-working, soul-saving Jesus Christ. And he said, will you go down there ahead of me and prepare the way? I hate to tell you, but that's all we're doing. We're going out ahead of Jesus and preparing the way for the second coming of the Lord. And it wouldn't hurt you to partner up with somebody. God don't need you to be the Lone Ranger. Woo! I know some of us like to be, we think, man, I'm the only one. I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one doing that. No. You know why he sent them out two by two? Where you can look over every once in a while and say, I don't feel good. I don't know what I'm having a hard time. And then somebody can look back at you, well, I'm feeling good today. I'll pray for you and I'll sing for you, right? It's like Paul and Silas. I don't know which one of them began to sing. So we'd all like to think it was Paul who done the singing. Maybe Paul was the one finally on the low side and Silas started singing. When at midnight. You know what? We got a pretty good beating today. Well, I know that. We're locked up. Yeah, I know that. We ain't got a stitch of clothing on. I know that. Man, God must really think a lot about us. Hallelujah. Amazing grace, victory in Jesus, amen. And all of a sudden, the whole thing starts shaking. That's why, listen, get somebody you can go with. Get, and he said, well, does it have to be two? No, it can be three, or four, or six, or ten. But go with somebody to help you, amen? Even if you just have somebody that you can call and tell them how you really feel. The devil, I don't know why I'm stuck here. Some of y'all are panicking right now. He said, now I've got 20 verses, Kevin. Get off the first one. The devil loves isolation. He loves for you to get isolated and to stew in your own stuff. And that's why people that worry me to death, so I can have church at home. Yeah, I believe you can. But after a while, it's going to be weird church. Amen, preacher, it's good preaching. It's going to be weird church because it's going to be you and you. And you know, whatever you say goes. And after a while, it just gets weird. Amen? Go where you can hear God. Go when somebody can encourage you. Go and where you can be an encouragement to somebody else. Golly, Kevin, move please on. No. We think most of the time we go to church. What? Preacher feed us. Singer bless us. Help us. A lot of come to church to be something to somebody else. Whew. It's a partnership. Don't just come always wanting to take. Fill my plate up, let me eat it. Come to fill somebody's plate up. You don't know how so many people will come back to this church and attend this church, not because the pastor, not because the singer, it's because one of you said, hey, I love you and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. You make my day when you're here. I'm not the only one crazy here. Never mind. Y'all get that later. Y'all, is that good? Let's move on. Wednesday night is not, I love preaching on Wednesday night because I feel like I'm preaching to the core of the church. I'm not trying to win you over. You'd come to church if we told you not to. Amen? You're coming because you love it. I'm trying to give you something where you walk out of here and you're better than when you came. I want you to be better Christians. I want to be a better Christian. Verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest is great. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Ain't that cool? You know what they called God right there? The God of the, listen to this, the harvest, listen to this. The Lord, underline that, Lord of the harvest. Amen? Okay, why is that important? Because it's not up to you whether we harvest anybody. Woo! Your job is to work. It's his job to do the harvest. Man, that should take a big weight off of you because guess what? A lot of times as Christians, we're like performance-based and we're like, well, ain't nobody getting saved. Ain't nobody doing that. Are you working? And I know some of y'all are going to be right in your mind going, what's work? What do I do, preacher? The gospel is your tool. The truth of God's word is your tool to work with. And it's a great tool because if you'll share the truth and you'll share the gospel, guess what? That tool will work on the hearts of men, women, and children, and it will work on them to be saved. One plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. But can I tell you the truth about that? One waters, one waters, one waters, one waters, one plants, one plants, one plants, one plants, one plants, one waters, one plants, one waters. I didn't get saved till I was 30. Somebody didn't come along with a seed and plant, and somebody didn't come along with the water, and then God come along and saved me. It didn't happen that way. Somebody came by and threw seed all over me. And somebody came by and threw some water on me. And then somebody threw one seed, two seeds, and three seeds, and then a bunch of water. Amen? Are you all right? So you're sitting there thinking, I don't need it. I didn't get a sin. I'm not good. I'm not evangelistic. I'm not holy. I'm not spiritual. I'm not seeing people come. No. Are you sowing? Are you sowing? Or are you watering? Because the Lord of the harvest is the one who harvests. Whew. Man, that helps me. Oh, well, church downtown, everybody's getting saved. Oh, I'm a preacher over there, he's all getting saved. I'm glad. That's great. I'm glad to see people get saved. But praise God, you know what I believe is going to be better in the church? If I get all y'all excited about Jesus Christ, you go out into this world and the people you work with get saved. Woo! That's good. That's what I want to see. And then if you do it like that, maybe they'll come back to this church because they've seen a fire in you. And you're one of the few people in their life that's hungry. Amen. Y'all good? I just put a plug in there for our church. You didn't know, but I did. Snuck it in. Verse 3. Are y'all ready for some disappointment? Verse 3. It's not really disappointment, but it can be. Y'all are not ready for it, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as mighty roaring lions among the wolves. Holy bum. I wish it read like that. Okay, I'll do it another way. Y'all, some of y'all are sitting there going, you got a different version of the Bible I got. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as mighty warriors of the kingdom of glory among the wolves. Wrong again, right? Mel's like, I don't know what version you got. You need to stop it. Y'all know? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Because this hurts a lot, doesn't it? Because this hurts a lot. Because sometimes we build ourselves up in our minds that we're roaring lions or warriors or... He goes, and I send you, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among the wolves. Lambs have zero defense mechanisms. Okay, we don't have no teeth, no claws, no nothing, no power. Okay, when wolves see lambs, they say, lunch, dinner. But they do have one thing. Yeah. And we got one awesome shepherd. Amen? But I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to lie to you. When I read this, every time, our shepherd is not afraid to send us out amongst the wolves, and we don't really know sometimes, God help me, we don't know sometimes what the shepherd is doing. And we don't know where the shepherd's at. But we sure do know where the wolf's at. Because he's howling and growling and making all kinds of fuss. And he's all around us. And God's saying, go on out there. And you're like, I know, but it reads sheep among wolves. And I want to be a lion or a warrior. Well, if you want to feel like a lion or a warrior, you be a sheep who always runs to the shepherd. Golly, y'all. You be a sheep that's always, hear me, I'm preaching. You get this. You're always seeking the shepherd. Amen? You're always, hey, Father. Donnie, listen to what I'm saying. Sheep, they do have one thing as a defense mechanism. They can cry. They can cry out. Listen, it's okay. The devil says, oh, you got him. He's just, no, no, no. I'm not crying because I'm scared. I'm crying for the shepherd. Oh, yeah. Because one day I cried like this when I was a lost sheep and he came. So I found out sometimes I got to get back to basics and cry out and he comes. Don't let God send you out as a sheep, because that's what the world's going to see. They're going to say they're weak, but they're powerful. They're fighting this warfare different. They're not coming at us with all this stuff. They're coming at us with a brokenness. Can I preach to y'all for a minute, if y'all don't mind? Can I share something with you? I said this a couple of months ago, but I don't know if you got it. Maybe the world doesn't want your strengths. Maybe it wants your brokenness. You know what I'm saying? Maybe this next generation doesn't want to be taught how strong you are as a Christian. Maybe they want to hear how you made it. God. How you made it. Because this generation says, how are we going to make it? Some of us, they say, we made it. But we came through Jesus. Look, oh gosh. I can fix an engine. I can build a house. I can cook a meal. I can sew some clothes. Oh. I can do all them things. But let me tell you where I went to a broken place and God got me out. Oh, y'all ain't listening to what I'm saying. Somebody needs to hear that you're not perfect. That you look perfect on the outside sometimes, but on the inside, I am a broken person like you. And here is my, I don't show it to everybody, but here's my brokenness. You'll be, oh gosh. If you show people your brokenness and how God fixed you, then you can show them how you do your strength stuff. No amens there. Kind of disappointed. Amen? Because if you'll show them your brokenness and show them how God worked on you, then they'll say, you know what, can I be real with you? I've always been kind of intimidated by you because you could do some stuff that I couldn't do, and I almost put you in superstar Christian status. But now that I know you are broke the way I am broke, can you show me some of these cool things that I like about you? And that's better than what you let on, because we do that. As Christians, we want to show them our strengths and our power and our ability. But we never want to show them, hey, here's where God, when I was a little girl, this happened. When I was a little guy, this happened. When I was in my 20s, this happened. Because some people look at you and say, well, man, you've always been perfect. You're some Christian. You're way up there. We can never touch you. There's people that stand on this stage. They sing and you can never be like you. Praise God. I'm just as pushed around. I got my feelings hurt. I left there. I'm leaving here. And somebody's like, man, you won't stay long enough to get anything done. Amen? Well, you don't know the situation. You know? Listen, every ministry, every place has trouble. Everybody has issues. Everybody's got personalities. Praise God. Focus on the work and not on the people working. Amen, preacher. It's good preaching. I love that verse 7. We got through it with no pain, right? Don't go from house to house. And verse 8. And in whatsoever city you enter in and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Number 9, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter in and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of that same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of for Sodom and for that city. Amen. Woe unto Chorazin, for woe unto Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shalt thou thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And there's a whole lot of reading for what? He was already setting them up. He sent them out. He said, I'm coming. You hear what I'm saying? This is for them, but it's for us. I'm coming to these cities. I need you to go into each one of these cities, and I want you to prepare the way for me. I want you to go into each house and each place that you're welcome and share the gospel. If they accept you, great. Share it with everybody. It's a 2020 vision. Get everybody in the house and tell them about Jesus. If they don't accept you, walk outside. Now listen, this is hard for us as a modern Christians because we don't like to let anybody go. But you go outside and you knock the dust off your feet, that dust will be a testimony against them. That would stink. Could you imagine getting to heaven or getting right before the judgment seat of God and all of a sudden God say, you're not, depart from me, work of iniquity, I never knew you. And they say, well, we never had a chance, you never did this. And all of a sudden he goes, look right over there, there's a pile of dirt from all the missionaries and all the gospel, all the people I sent to you to tell you about Jesus, there's a pile of dirt right there. That's the dirt off their feet. Wow. He said he was preparing them. He was telling them, look, you go out there and you share the gospel. If they accept it, great. It's not whether they're accepting you. You might want to write this down. It's not whether they're accepting you or not. Amen? It's whether they're accepting me. The gospel's about me. It's not validating you whatsoever. If they accept you, great. If they don't, great. Knock the dust off your feet and what? Leave. Move on. Move on. Amen? We have a hard time ministering to some people because we think it's our job to save those people that are hard cases. It's our job to tell them about the one who's in charge of the harvest. Amen? I stopped wrestling people a long time ago. I've told you this. I don't know how many times I've preached here before. You ever have to get the sword duels? I mean, you're going for your sword. They're going for their sword. The Bible says, I'm saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were excited what they got to do with the kingdom of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'd rather have somebody that's excited about what they're doing than somebody that seems like, golly bum, you got to beat them to get it done, right? But listen to this part right here. Here's the one thing I wanted to tell you. And he said unto them in verse 18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Whew. Man, that should ring a bell with you right there. You know when sometimes, I can't myself, Ray, I'm sorry. Sometimes people compare Jesus and Satan together like they're in an arm wrestling match. You ain't on an arm wrestling match of somebody you created. And you ain't in an arm wrestling match if somebody says, get your stuff and get out. And you ain't in an arm wrestling match with a person that don't even have the keys to their own house. That's a shouter, ain't it? If a man ain't got the keys to his own house, see, golly, I'm on the way, y'all gonna make me preach. One day Jesus said, He went into the grave. He walked down into hell. Where's Lucifer at? Where's the devil? Give me them keys. Woo! He had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. All the way up into the day that Jesus was resurrected. He don't even have the keys to his own house. Because Jesus went down there and said, it's over. You messed up. What do you mean I messed up? The day you put me on that cross, the day you made a plan to hang me on a tree, you messed up. Because I'm going to set everybody free. Sure, I'd like to say it the way I'd want to say it. I'm going to set this whole place off. Amen? Right now there's a gulf separating us. Hell on this side. Saints on this side. In just a few days, golly, Rebecca, we all coming out of here. One dude done a wheelie and pulled out of there. Y'all don't believe me. One dude was hanging on a cross. And he said, this day you will be me in paradise. That joker landed in paradise, done a wheelie, and was wow, out of there. Man, you're like, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like, we've been down here in paradise. That guy said, man, I only spent a day or two. But Jesus got them keys. Sorry. Jesus has the keys. That guy, he took them right away from that guy. Amen. Where are we at? I'm lost. Okay. Verse 20. Yeah, verse 19. I got marks all over the place. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall be any measure of hurt you. Any hurt you. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. That the spirits are subject unto you. Listen to this right here. Listen how powerful this is. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know why he said that? Well, I know why he said it now. I'm going to figure it out one day too. There's going to be a day when you ain't kicking devils out. You ain't preaching the gospel. You ain't doing this. You ain't doing that. You ain't running wide open. And matter of fact, people look at you and say, he ain't what he was. Or she ain't what she was. And they'll say, why are you still so excited about that Jesus? You ain't preaching like you was, and you ain't healing like you was, and you ain't running the roads like you was. He said, well, I'm still excited about Jesus because I'm excited about the same thing I was excited about when I was doing all that stuff. I'm excited because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that doesn't change. Whether I'm running well or I'm not running so well. Whether I'm preaching great or not preaching great. Whether I'm a great guy or not a great guy. Whether I'm a great gal or not a great gal. I have my name written down. That will fuel your fire a lot more than anything you do for the kingdom of God. I ain't going to say you won't enjoy rolling up some devils. I ain't going to say that I haven't enjoyed taking God's word and the spirit of preach get on me and I preach till I'm run down. I ain't going to say I ain't never, I'll be honest with you, I love to preach. I love taking this book and telling people about it. I really enjoy it. But praise God, that ain't who I am. I'm a child of God. And my name's in the book. And that keeps me going even when I don't want to go. That should keep you going when you don't want to go. Let's all stand as I come get a song.